The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Here Comes the Judge. Off the top rope, the coach of the Giants. Every word is worth hearing, and you will off the top. Then, the man named Young wants a piece of the NFL's oldest legend. Should he be sorry he said it? You'll hear it. You'll decide. And then, after an all-world night with his nemesis on the field, has Justin Fields made a case to be number one? Mel is here to answer those questions and more as we get up with you, starting right now. Delighted to have you with us on a Tuesday from the studios at the Seaport. I'm Mike Greenberg, and by no means alone. We've put together the usual Tuesday crew getting ready to talk football with you today, and here they are. The big swagoo is back. Jeff Saturday, I'm telling you in advance, is fired up today, and Dan Graziano with all of the information and insight. All that is on the way, and we begin with the head coach of the New York Giants, Joe Judge, who had some harsh words for how Doug Peterson handled the fourth quarter of the Eagles' hugely consequential game against Washington on Sunday night, a game that directly impacted New York's playoff hopes. Now, this is a longer soundbite than we would usually play, but I thought it was important that you heard pretty much every word of it. So, here comes the judge.
The one thing to keep in mind with this season is we had a lot of people opt in to this season. Okay, we had a lot of people opt in, all right, coaches, players. That includes family members as well, all right? So to look at a group of grown men who I asked to give me effort on a day-in, day-out basis and to empty the tank, and then I can look them in the eye and assure them that I'm always going to do everything I can to put them at a competitive advantage and play them in a position of strength. To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling them practice was going to be canceled, we have to do a virtual day, okay? To tell them, please don't have your family over for Thanksgiving. Please avoid Christmas gatherings. We know it's your wife's birthday. Let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Ooh. And so there he comes off the top rope. Jeff Saturday, I know where you're going. Go ahead. What is your reaction to what we just heard from Joe Judge?
It's ridiculous, man. Are you freaking kidding? Are we mad at the Chiefs and the Steelers and everybody else? We're talking about integrity of a game. Hey, by the way, when I was playing, we were 14-0, and Bill Polian pulled, you know, Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, you name it, right? Jim Caldwell pulled all the guys, and we ended up letting the Jets in the playoffs. We had to go play them in the AFC Championship game. Look, Doug Peterson is in charge of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's it. He's not in charge of integrity of the game. He's not in charge of any of that. He had made the decision before the week of who he was going to play. Carson Wentz didn't even dress. Fletcher Cox isn't in the game. Like, we have made – this is a freaking joke that we're talking about. This is the integrity of the game. He decided he wasn't going to play for the win. There were a ton of teams on this weekend that didn't play. By the way, this is kind of like, for me, like rookies in the locker room. You should be seen, not heard. Rookie head coaches the same way for me, man. Like, are you kidding me? Like we didn't even coach long. We won six games, and we're complaining about the other team who won four games not playing hard enough to get us in the playoffs. Man, I understand if the people who should be upset are the Philadelphia Eagle players who want to win games. But to act like this is integrity of the league conversation is freaking ridiculous.
All right, Marcus, what do you think?
First of all, I wish me and Jeff Saturday were together so I could give him a hug. My first initial reaction My first initial reaction to Joe Judge was, so what? Like, you went on this rant about something you had nothing to do with. Absolutely no control. You don't know what was on that coaching staff mind to insinuate what you would and wouldn't do. It does not matter. I was so mad when I watched this, because when you think about it, like, this is not a team that's about to be relevant in the playoffs, coach talking. This is a team that lost, didn't find their way in the playoffs, left the playoffs up to something else happening to get them in.
Yep.
And then you want to pose that and talk about what Doug Peterson is doing. Might I add this? Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Took this team to the playoffs when everybody left him for dead last year. And I'm with Jeff. Like, if he's lost the players, the guys that aren't coming back, because there's going to be some wholesale roster changes for the Philadelphia Eagles, if he's lost those guys, then we're having a different conversation about Doug Peterson's
That's right.
future moving forward with the Eagles. But as far as Joe Judge, this is the first one today. I don't give a damn what Joe Judge talking about. That's okay. The first one.
Okay.
Can I just jump in the middle here? Because someone has to be the voice of sanity, Graziano, before I come to you. If the two of you were going to hug each other, you're going to have to squeeze me to death in between you, because I was going to jump in between and tell you both that you're out of your minds. First of all, there is no equivalence whatsoever between what the Steelers did, keeping Ben Roethlisberger healthy for a playoff game, and what the Eagles did, which is tanking the fourth quarter of a game that was consequential to other people. So that's the first thing. There is nothing at all similar about those two things. And the second part of it, Swagoo, is that Joe Judge, I think, is not just speaking for his team, which got left out, but the idea that everyone put together 255 and three quarters games of football this year trying to win. And the Eagles, for reasons known only to them, decided to give Nate Sudfeld a senior day because he had been there 4 years and needed to get some snaps, like his mom and dad were standing at midfield with a bouquet of roses, as Ryan Clark said yesterday. So to me, Marcus, those are not the same thing at all.
Okay, yep, spoken like a guy that plays chess and drinks high-dollar wine. That's what you sound like right now. Yeah. Listen, this ain't got a damn thing to do with Doug. Like, Joe Judge can say what he want to say about the integrity of the league. Everybody went through protocols. Everybody dealt with issues as this season went along. And if you want to talk about integrity of the league, didn't I watch the Denver Broncos play without a damn quarterback? This is a different situation. Like, that, look. This the bottom line, G. You can be mad. The New York Giants fans can be enraged. Joe Judge can be enraged. Doug Peterson is the head coach of the Eagles. He can do what the hell he want to do throughout a
That's
game.
That's right.
And then, too, like, nobody is talking about – Jalen Hurts wasn't playing well. If we're talking about a comeback, it was about his legs. I understand it from that standpoint of where they were in the game. But Doug Peterson can get whoever he wants to get reps. The Eagles
right.
wasn't going to the playoffs. He let the dude play. That don't have nothing to do with anybody else.
One of the reasons, by the way, that the kid Hurts wasn't playing well is that the Eagles basically sat half their starters in a weekend in which Matt Stafford, who should never have played because he had every injury in the world, was out there playing in a meaningless game. And Deshaun Watson was out there playing in a meaningless game, because in the NFL, they don't treat games like they're meaningless. Graziano, what are you hearing around the league in reaction to this?
Yeah, the NFL is going to cancel the playoffs because of the damage that Doug Peterson did to the integrity. No,
thank you.
Come on.
Thank you, Gross. Thank you.
The NFL wants everyone to play their guys and try as hard as they possibly can to win every game. That's why they reconfigured the schedule a couple of years ago to put division games in week 16 and 17 to try and incentivize teams to put their guys on the field and reduce the incidence of, like what you say with Pittsburgh not playing their guys because they're resting them for the playoffs. But it still happens. And the NFL's not going to do anything about it, because at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles have every right to decide who should play quarterback for them and in which quarter. Doug Peterson said publicly last week that he was going to get Nate Sudfeld some snaps in this game. It's not something he said, oh, look up, we're too close to winning, we better try to lose, let's put Sudfeld in the game because obviously he's completely incompetent and a white flag, and if we put him in the game, we have no chance to win. That's not what happened. right? So I don't. People get upset. This happens all the time. And there is a similarity to what the Steelers did, and the similarity is the effect it has. The effect it has is it's easier for the other team to win the game when you don't put your best guys on the field.
Yes, but the Steelers are making sure that they're giving themselves the best chance they have to win the Super Bowl this year. The Eagles were not doing anything of that kind. To me, that's the difference. Go ahead, Marcus, final word real quick.
I just wanted to say, Groz, you know what? Me and Jeff tried to explain this to everybody. Just let them be in, don't hit them with facts, Groz. Just let them be in their feelings and their emotions. Just tell them next year, win enough games so you can go to the damn playoffs and not have to worry about Doug Peterson playing subfield.
That's right.
I will stand alone on this one because, like most geniuses, I will not be truly appreciated until long after
my time.
Yeah,
like that tie the Eagles
had. All right, let's move it forward. Following Washington's win on Sunday, their star pass rusher, Chase Young, was very clear that he's ready to face Tom Brady and the Bucs in the wild card round. Take a listen, and then you will hear from Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians.
Tom Brady, I'm coming. I want Tom.
We'll have our hands full, but, you know, that it's one of those games where you better watch what you wish for.
Okay. And Jeff Saturday, go ahead, Jeff. Take the floor.
This is what it's about, man. You want to play in January? You want to play in February? Like, stop talking about 4-win and 6-win teams. Let's talk about some action, boss. We got Chase Young, going to be the defensive player of the year, talking trash to Tom Brady, jogging off the field. You know where that comes from? Jack Del Rio, baby. Hey, the defensive coordinator for the Washington football team, he told all his boys, get ready, because we win this one, we're going to see the GOAT and go make something happen. And listen, Sweat, Allen, Payne, you name it. There's three or four others in that group, even Kerrigan. This defensive line is absolutely legit. Tom Brady, he got on his text chain last night, all the offensive linemen, y'all better strap up and be ready. You see some rib shots, you better freaking take them. You better put some hat on some people, because this is why you play playoff football, man. I can't tell you how jacked I am that somebody said something to get this weekend going, baby. I'm ready to watch it already.
Go, Marcus.
I just want to hear Jeff Saturday keep talking. I want to yield my time to the gentleman that plays center in the league forever and one of the best to ever do it. But since I have to, I'll take it. This is what I'll say. I'm going to be calm, Swaggoo. Chase Young, I like the energy. I'm not mad that Chase Young said he want Brady, he coming. Just be careful what you ask for, like B.A. said. The experience of this game, I learned when I was young. I had opportunity to go into the playoffs. The level changes. The great ones are made in the playoffs. Where the reason why we Tom Brady the GOAT is not because of the regular season. It's because of what this dude does during this time of the year. So, look, I'm excited to see it. Washington got their juice. They got a D-line that's going to get after people. But be careful about what you think and, or think not about Tom Brady.
It's going to be interesting to see how that gets handled. Graziano, I'm not comparing the teams. Obviously, Washington won six games this year, and San Francisco was the one seed in the NFC a year ago. But there is a similarity to the way they win, and what Nick Bosa was to those 49ers, that's kind of what Chase Young is to this group, yes?
Yeah, last year's Niners had five first-round picks in that defensive front. Washington, very similar. Yes, Chase Young was the last piece of the puzzle that unlocked that, and they are a legitimately, they have a 7-win team, yes, but they're a legitimately great defense that has really caused a lot of problems for a lot of people, and that could include Tom Brady, who, you know, he's not mobile. Like, you know, if Washington has a plan to get after Tom Brady, they may be able to do it. Chase Young was a year old when Tom Brady was drafted. Since he played Pop Warner football and high school football, he's been thinking about sacking Tom Brady. That's his dream. He's excited. When you ask these kids at the combine every year, who are you looking forward to sacking the most? They all say Tom Brady. This is a dream come true for Chase Young, no matter how it goes.
Now, look, this was the matchup everyone said the Buccaneers were playing for. They wanted to get the champion of the NFC East in this first round by playing last week. Now they got him. Maybe they should be a little careful what they wish for as well. All right, Graziano, let's run the hurry up looking at a few situations from around the league. Let's talk about the Buccaneers and Mike Evans.
Yeah, Mike Evans left Sunday's game with an injury. Good news on the injury front with Mike Evans. No structural damage to the knee. They're calling him day-to-day. They will see how the practice week goes and if he is able to go Saturday. Evans has played through injury this year and in the past. He would obviously like to go, but they're going to have to wait and see how he feels on Saturday before deciding whether he's going to be able to play in this playoff game. But good news in terms of the MRI and the exams they took. Saints running back Alvin Kamara, they got a break. Their game is on Sunday. Sunday is the first day Alvin Kamara would be eligible to come off the COVID-19 list and rejoin the team. If their game had been on Saturday, they'd be out of luck. But it is possible that he is able to come off that list and play Sunday. It depends on a lot of things. How he's testing, does he show symptoms? It's possible he won't be able to come off the list, but the fact that the game's Sunday means it's possible that he can. And let's turn our attention to the coaching search, right? This is a big story this week. Six teams looking for head coaches. Are college coaches going to get a look? Is Jim Harbaugh from Michigan going to be able to return to the NFL? There's some thought that he might have some interest in some of the open jobs, but curiosity to see whether the NFL still has interest in him. We'll see how that plays out. But college coaches are going to be on the radar here. Urban Meyer, the former Ohio State coach, is a candidate in Jacksonville. There's, I'm told, mutual interest there in terms of him possibly becoming the Jaguars coach, to the point where he has looked into possible, you know, staffing and procedures for how the NFL is different from the college game. So keep an eye on that. That's a situation to watch in Jacksonville, where Urban Meyer could end up being the Jaguars head coach if things fall into place.
All right, I'm going to leave it there for the moment, but I do want to circle back to that, if not today, then at some point this week, because Harbaugh, life comes at you fast. I mean, he was the guy that everyone was dying for not so long ago, and now maybe he's interested in the league and it's not interested in him. We'll come back to that. Meanwhile, let's look ahead. And to look ahead, we have to start by looking back, by recapping the quarterback play from college football's semifinal games. Mac Jones threw for 297 yards and 4 touchdowns for Alabama and knocking Notre Dame out in the Rose Bowl. His 4 touchdown passes tied an Alabama Bowl record. Trevor Lawrence, the presumptive top pick in the draft, lost to Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl. He's 34-2 at Clemson, and it figures that's how it'll end. And then Justin Fields was sensational. Threw 6 touchdowns in Ohio State's win in that game. 7th player with at least 6 touchdown passes in a bowl game in FBS history. And this, if you haven't seen it yet, is how the draft order wound up. The top 18 picks have now been set. The rest of it will be determined by the playoffs. We think we know that Trevor Lawrence will be the number one pick in this draft. The questions really begin at number two with the Jets and Justin Fields. And when there are questions like that, this is the man who always has the answer. Mel Kiper Jr. is with us. Good morning, Mel. And let's start with that. I think the world was really impressed with what Justin Fields did on Friday night, the toughness that he showed and everything else. What did that do for him in the evaluation process?
Critical game, certainly, for Justin Fields after what happened against Indiana, then Northwestern. Granted, Chris Olave wasn't there in the Northwestern game, but I think it was critical that he played well. And I think the grit, the determination, that injury that he had with the Skalski hit, something he didn't know if he'd even come back from, let alone complete passes down the field and grimace and go through all the pain to lead his team to that victory, showed so much. And he's going to go into this game probably not 100%, so you have to realize that. But I think that game in particular right there, that Clemson game, was emphatic. It was needed. It was necessary to maintain that number two quarterback spot, to maintain that high first round ranking. So for Justin Fields, he needed it and he delivered.
So when you say high first round ranking, tell us where we should, and obviously there's a lot of people out there looking at that number two pick. Is that right now where you would pencil him in?
No, I would not. I think the Jets move forward with Sam Darnold. Greeny, when I go back and check the rating on Sam Darnold, he was right behind Josh Allen on my quarterback board. His rating will be higher than Justin Fields' rating and ranking. So I think you look at that. They have that. You know Sam Darnold. He knows them. He's shown promise. He needs the right coach. He needs, obviously, the right people around him. But I would move forward with Sam Darnold. Hopefully Cincinnati is thinking, hey, we need Penei Sewell. We can move up from 5-2, make that deal with the Jets, get the tackle. If the Jets are stuck there, take Sewell. You have two of the best young bookend tackles in the league with Mekhi Becton and Penei Sewell helping out Sam Darnold. So, no, I would not take Justin Fields, the two of them, the Jets. I would either trade down or take the offensive tackle and move forward, like I say, Greeny, with Sam Darnold.
Interesting. All right, we will circle back to that one later. I do want to ask you about the other quarterback in this game on Monday night, and he certainly should not be described that way. Mac Jones, quarterback, Alabama, is a Heisman finalist. He might win that award tonight. And what, as I was listening to the conversation about him during the game, things that people may not know, he graduated in 2.5 years with a 4.0 GPA. He has a master's degree now. You watch the decisions that he makes. He plays like an NFL quarterback. What are NFL teams thinking about him right now?
His accuracy on all levels, Greeny, is really incredible. And I think the way he played this year after only 4 starts last season, and to not have the Ruggs and not have Judy, and then Waddle got hurt, and it's Devontae Smith's show, yet his accuracy, no matter who's out there, is spectacular. Now, he is not Joe Burrow. Those comparisons are exaggerated. He doesn't beat you with his legs like Burrow did. He's not the athlete. He's not the runner Burrow is. That's what beat Alabama, was the legs and that ability that Burrow showed. But I think when you look at Mac Jones, it's going to be interesting, Greeny. Middle of the first round sits the New England Patriots. We know about the Saban-Belichick connection. And is Mac Jones going to be a Patriot? We'll see. Middle of the first round, the Patriots pick. And that's, I think, the ceiling. That's about how as high as I would think Mac Jones could come off the board as the middle of the first round.
Now, we'll see. That's a huge game on Monday night, not only, obviously, because it's for the championship, but both quarterbacks and several other players, of course, mm-hmm. very critical for their evaluations. All right, Mel, stay with us here. We're going to keep you sure. with us pretty much throughout the show. We'll have more with Mel, including after a rough day on Sunday. Should the Dolphins be thinking about taking a quarterback in this draft? That's a question we will answer. And the one thing that has to change for Big Ben and the Steelers right now, or they will be one and done in this postseason. You'll hear what that is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and Marcus Spears, you're my fashion guru. What did you think of the uniforms the Miami Heat had on last night?
I like it, man. I like it a lot, G. And the reason I like it is because we know that this team, like Kendrick Perkins said, are those goons. So you can wear what you want to wear when you tough and as hard as the Miami Heat are. I love the fact that they match in the court. It's 2021. We need brightness. We need light. We need enjoyment. That's what the Heat giving us, brother.
I agree, but I don't think I could pull it off. Anyway, as we continue, Carson Wentz may want out. But will the Eagles trade him? You'll hear from their general manager coming up in a moment. And you will hear from Sneaky Hembo. Here we go, and this one is for Graziano. Who is the all-time winningest coach on Wild Card Weekend? That's the question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and what a weekend this is going to be. Super wild card weekend. It begins on Saturday. The Colts visiting the Bills. That game's on CBS. Seahawks then host the Rams on Fox. Then Tampa, Tom, and the Bucks take on Washington in primetime. Sunday's tripleheader begins with our game on ESPN and ABC. Ravens and Titans, followed by the Bears and the Saints, and that is followed by the Browns and the Steelers. Should be a fabulous weekend of football. Meanwhile, let's see. Dan Graziano is usually fabulous with these. Sneaky Hembo. Dan, who is the all-time winningest coach on wildcard weekend?
So I think I remember being in that studio this time last year and him asking me who was the all-time winningest quarterback on wildcard weekend. And I think the answer to that question was Joe Flacco. So I'm going to guess the answer to this question is John Harbaugh.
Okay, you did it. You fell directly into his trap. That's how he wanted to set you up. John Harbaugh is second. He is one away. Pete Carroll is the correct answer. Pete Carroll has 6 wins on Wild Card Weekend. He said this, he's verbatim in the break. He said to me, I set this up last year. I think I've got Graziano on this one. Okay, score one for him.
The long game. I like it.
That is very well done. All right, Graziano, meanwhile, let's go to your Mythbusters. Instead of overreactions this week, you're focusing on playoff teams and busting some myths about them. Let's start with this. Drew Brees can't beat defenses with his arm anymore. Bust that myth.
Yeah, I think that's rooted in the idea that, you know, maybe he doesn't throw deep. And, you know, he hasn't been able to throw deep really consistently for years. But Drew Brees, in the range of 15 to 20 yards down the field, is completing passes at a 70% rate, tied for second in the league. He can beat you with his arm, even though it's not going to necessarily look like he's chucking it a mile down the field. That's why that's a myth.
All right, the next myth. The Ravens are the most dangerous team in the AFC playoff field. Bust it.
Yeah, they could be, but there really isn't evidence to support it because the last 2 years, they've been one of the easiest teams in the playoff field to beat. Lamar Jackson's QBR in the playoffs in his 2 seasons is right around 21, a very low figure. In their current 5-game winning streak, they've only beaten one playoff team. That was the Browns. We still need to see them be able to come back. We need to see Lamar be able to make those throws in the playoffs. I believe he can, but we don't have the evidence historically to support it yet.
And then one more. The Steelers' running game will come back in the playoffs. Will you bust that myth?
Yeah, look, this is not an issue of them needing to run it more or get the backs healthy. Their offensive line has been a poor one this year at run blocking and pass blocking in the bottom 3 or 4 of the league in terms of those categories. That's not something that gets fixed overnight. Look, Ben Roethlisberger only been sacked 13 times, but he gets rid of the ball as quickly as anybody in the league. That offensive line has been an issue and a liability for Pittsburgh, and going into the postseason, it's going to continue to be one, and that's why I don't think their running game comes back anytime soon.
That feels critical as they get set to play Cleveland, as we showed you on Sunday night. I have to start with the offensive lineman again here. Jeff, can you flip a switch? Can the Steelers turn some knob somewhere and suddenly be able to run the football this weekend?
No, they cannot. And as much as I hate to agree with Graz, I mean, the bottom line is, in the last 5 weeks, this is the 32nd ranked rushing offense, which is absolutely absurd that you're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers that way. But no, you can't just flip a switch and turn it on. This offensive line has been poor in blocking and creating holes, whether it be for Snell, Connor, you name it. So no, they won't just be able to turn this thing on. And the fear for them is facing this Cleveland front four is, can they protect it for the deep ball? This team's played one good quarter of football really in 6 weeks against the Colts, hit a bunch of passes down the field. They better hope their offensive line comes to play, or they may be bumped really early.
Well, so then, Marcus, that brings me directly to you. If they do not or cannot run the football, can they win Sunday?
Yeah, they can win, G, because Cleveland's pass defense is horrid, quite frankly, but it's much more difficult. Look, and two, remember, Olivier Vernon won't be in this game, who's been their high-pressure guy when dropback has happened. The one team that I thought dominated the Pittsburgh Steelers from the standpoint of limiting what they do offensively was the Washington football team. And that rush and those guys getting their hands up and batting balls. The worst problem and the worst situation for the Steelers is getting behind on downs. First down is critical for this football team. So what, to Jeff's point, no run game, usually you in third and long situations. That's not where you want to be. But they get a little break this week because the Browns' back end is struggling and suffering from a lot of injuries, and they just not playing well back there. Shoot, we saw Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph-led team only lose by two against the Browns, who had to have the game to get in the playoffs. So I'm imagining Big Ben can do a little bit more than Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, Rudolph threw for 300 yards against them this past Sunday in a game they didn't need to win. Okay, next order of business is back to Philly. And this time we're talking directly about the quarterback. Carson Wentz still plans to ask for a trade in the offseason because his relationship with coach Doug Peterson is fractured beyond repair. That is the reporting from our Chris Mortensen. But the general manager, Howie Roseman, said yesterday a trade is not being discussed.
That is not anything that we're talking about right now. We're talking about a guy that's immensely talented, has a great work ethic, and doing whatever we can to put him in the best possible situation to be successful. When you have players like that, they're like fingers on your hands. You know, you can't even imagine that they're not part of you, that they're not here. And, you know, that's how we feel about Carson.
Okay, so we will bring everyone, including Mel, into this conversation. But Graziano, I will start with you because you don't expect him to get up there yesterday and say, oh, yeah, we're absolutely open for business here, and we would consider trading him if the right offer came our way. So what are you hearing from people you talk to around the league?
Yeah, hearing that the Eagles' preference, honestly, would be to bring Carson Wentz back and see if they can get this thing right. They're heavily invested in him. Remember, they traded up twice in the draft to go get him. They had to get from 13 to 8 to 2 to get him. And then a couple years later, they're giving him a monster contract, a franchise quarterback contract that has them pretty well locked in to the point where if they did trade him, they would take a major dead money hit. So their preference would be to keep him. Obviously, the issue is if he wants out, and you know, I'm inclined to believe Chris Mortensen's reporting, more than I believe what a general manager says, no offense to Howie. But, you know, I think if he wants out, he can make things difficult for them to get to the point where they have no choice. But you're right. They're not going to come out and say it. You don't want other teams to think you're desperate. You're not going to get anything in return if you do end up deciding you have to move him.
It's critical to point out that this is the general manager who traded up twice to take him and gave him that contract. So there's a lot of things going on here. And, Mel, I'm trying to read the very stern expression on your face. What is your takeaway from this conversation?
Well, I think the frame of mind that you send your team into the offseason with is critical. And I defended Doug Peterson, but I was sitting there the other night thinking, what are you doing? And I think the Jalen Hurts situation just is unbelievable, that you didn't allow him to go out and try to win that football game. Quarterbacks can struggle. How do they deal with adversity? How do they deal with a game where you should have been at 17-17? Why in the world at the end of the third quarter aren't you kicking a field goal on a fourth and goal from the five? Tie the game up. Points are the premium. Your quarterback, Alex Smith, on the other side, you think about him, you're getting after him, he can't move. You know it's a field goal game. That blew me away. But not have Hurts or Wentz available at the end. Who would ever have thought Nate Sudfeld was going to take the last snap moving into the offseason? That made no sense. But I think when you said it a month ago when you had me on, Greeny, I said, this is Wentz's team. And I believe right now this is still Wentz's team. What else are you going to do? You're going to go move forward with Jalen Hurts when you didn't even leave him in the game in the final game? No. He's a creative accent piece to Carson Wentz. The money's not an issue. Hurts was a second-round pick. Wentz is paid big. If you want to say it's a competition, fine. I don't think it's a competition. This is Carson Wentz's team. Surround him with the right people. Keep him healthy, and he will win. And Jalen Hurts will be there to maybe give defensive coordinators a lot to think about. But I'm all about Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think you can trade him.
What do you think, Marcus?
I just listened to Mel, and it got so frustrated, I lost my train of thought. First of all, it ain't Carson Wentz's team. Right? Because Carson Wentz, for all intents and purposes, don't want to be there anymore. So it damn sure ain't his team. The Eagles are in a situation where the money is going to make this way more complicated than it should be. Carson Wentz has not come out, said anything, refuted any other reports about him not wanting to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles. And, G, you know me. I said this with Aaron.
With Dak Prescott, when you have a general – lost my mic.
This is television in 2020 and now into 2021. Go ahead, Marcus. Keep going. We can hear you.
I lost my mic. Anyway, what I was saying was when we were talking about the Dak Prescott negotiations in Dallas, general managers, ownership, don't play coy on a quarterback. I'm going to stand firm by that as long as I cover this league. And the fact that Howie Roseman didn't say Carson Wentz is our future, He's going to be our quarterback. We're going to work this out and make sure Carson has everything he needs to have success in Philly. Tells me everything I need to know about this situation. So I disagree with Mel. This ain't Carson Wentz team no more, because I didn't hear anybody in the decision-making process say Carson Wentz will be our guy.
Let me get Jeff in on this. Jeff, what do you
think? Whose team is it?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mel. Go ahead.
No, I say you know, whose team is, but it's Jalen Hurts' team. You keep him in the daggone game and let him right the ship and win the game and go have momentum going into the offseason. So if you believe it's Hurts is the guy, why do you pull him for Nate Sudfeld? That made no sense. I'm with you on that. But you don't let a quarterback dictate who the team is. It's the organization says, Carson, you fix that. And it's hard to fix a relationship. I mean, come on. It takes 10. I would give me 5 minutes with Carson Wentz, and he's our guy. You don't need 6 months. I mean, come on. Really? It's a relationship-building business, as all things are. Carson Wentz is the right quarterback. Jalen Hurts is all of a sudden franchise. Carson Wentz proved he was franchise. Jalen Hurts hasn't proven that.
I'm not going to lie to you. I have a fever, and the only prescription is more Mel, as far as I'm concerned. Jeff, go.
Mel, listen. Mm-hmm. I think Wentz is a quarterback. He's just not a quarterback of the Eagles. Like what you're saying, I think he needs to go somewhere else. This is the second time he's been supplanted by his backup. They have a statue of his backup outside the stadium. Never mind that he played that year to get him in, right? Then they put up Nick Foles' statue outside the stadium. And then this year they end up going and putting Jalen Hurts in. And again, everybody goes, oh, man, he's the spark. We need it. He's all these things. From Carson Wentz's perspective, I think he's a starting quarterback. I think he goes somewhere else and has a great career, resurrects his career, all of those things. But he doesn't want to be there because he doesn't think they believe in him. That's the issue, right?
Okay.
What Howie Roseman, to Marcus Spears' point, Roseman could have cleared it all up, man. Hey, he is our guy. Jalen Hurts had a heck of a run. We really appreciate the effort, all those things. But ultimately, Carson Wentz, it's his job to lose. I run this team. Look, well-run organizations have one voice. We got a whole lot of voices. We got Peterson. We got Roseman. We got Wentz. Too many voices coming out. We got to have one if we have any hope of turning this thing around.
I will come back to this, Marcus.
Jeff, what drives you real quick? Okay. Competitive energy drives you. Carson Wentz knows about Foles and Hurts. He has a chance now to prove with the right pieces that he's the guy. If I'm a competitor, and I know Wentz is tremendously competitive, he wants to prove to those Eagle fans and be the guy. Just keep them healthy, get the pieces, and he can be that guy. And you can fix any relationship. Ali said, that will take me about 5 minutes to fix that.
Marcus, final word. Go.
Mel, I like all the bass in your voice. I like when you come on here like this. I watch you with Ryan Clark and Foxworth do the same thing. But I'm going to tell you this, Mel. You need to pay attention a little bit more to all of the writing on the wall. First of all, we mad about Sudfeld being put in the game against the Washington football team. Why are we not mad that Carson Wentz wasn't dressed?
Yeah.
Why are we the $100 million guy that you say the franchise put pieces around him? Everybody mad as hell at Doug Peterson for putting Sudfeld in the game, and you didn't have a $100 million quarterback signed. Now, if it's anything to be mad about, it's that. But I don't think this relationship is reparable, because when you have a guy that you committed to a couple years ago, have a rough go at it, and then all of these reports come out, he doesn't say anything about wanting to stay in Philly. And he's not. When the last time you saw a $100 million quarterback not active during a game?
I have to do the last thing on earth I want to do, which is go to a break. I promise you we will come back to this, because there's a lot more to be said about it. Marcus, I totally agree with you on him not being dressed the other night. Meanwhile, let's go to a quick break here. We're coming back with much more Mel, including after a rough performance for Tua on Sunday, should the Dolphins be thinking about drafting another QB? We'll answer that and more. Feisty today. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and let's talk Tua. A playoff spot was on the line on Sunday, and Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins got crushed, a 30-point loss to Buffalo on Sunday. Tua throwing 3 picks in the second half after entering the game with only 2 total on the season. And his backup, Ryan Fitzpatrick, was not available because of COVID, and so he stayed out there, and it went really badly. And so Dan Graziano, it does have some people whispering around the fan universe about whether or not the Dolphins should consider taking a quarterback because they have the 3rd pick overall. What are you hearing from Miami?
Yeah, I think the Miami Dolphins believed that Tua Tagovailoa would always need time to develop. And I think, you know, you look at, he came in to the offseason coming off an injury. It was an offseason where they couldn't really gather for OTAs, mini camps, even training camp in any traditional sense. So I would be very surprised, based on everything I've heard from the Miami Dolphins this year, if they were thinking about replacing Tua Tagovailoa after 9 starts. Obviously, it's a situation where he's always going to get compared to the other guys he's drafted with. Justin Herbert has this great year, and so people are going to look and say, well, why couldn't Tua be that? Maybe he's not the right guy. But I think that Miami Dolphins believe Tua is a guy that can be their franchise quarterback, will be their franchise quarterback, needs time to get there, and they're going to be willing to give him that time. I think it's a lot more likely they use that high pick on, say, a number one receiver for Tua than on finding his potential replacement this early in that process.
Okay, that sounds about right. Let me bring Mel in here because, you know, Mel, you do the evaluation, and the evaluation doesn't end when the player is drafted. So now that we're 1 year into his career, what is your evaluation?
Gritty, I had said when he was drafted, I think his body needed to heal. Remember, he had 2 major injuries, that hip, to throw the football when you don't have the howitzer. You need everything working, legs, hips, rotation, everything. I don't see that. And I think you knew he had the ability to make every throw at Alabama. He needed, I think, a year to figure it out just medically and get his body back to where it needs to be. He played. He won games. I think the arm strength will show next year when he is now more time removed from that significant hip injury, Greeny. So I'm in agreement with Dan. I think that 3rd pick, you go Devontae Smith. They need a playmaking receiver, big-time receiver. He was that type of player at Alabama with Tua. You remember going early in his career against Georgia. So I think a Devontae Smith, they could need a running back, obviously help in different pieces at various positions. But they have the draft choices to surround Tua, improve this football team, move forward with Tua, get the receiver. And I think next year and the year after, you will see a different Tua than we saw this season coming off so quickly, less than a year removed from the injury when he took the field for Miami this year.
And Marcus, let me come to you and remind everyone that you were at the SEC Network for basically Tua's entire career. You probably saw every snap he took in college. So with that as the context, how would you describe your thoughts on him right now going forward in Miami?
Very confident he can be successful. And, you know, I saw Lewis Riddick talking about this a couple of days ago. We started to how these conversations revolve around these quarterbacks a bit too early. I mean, all the extenuating circumstances around Tua and this season and his opportunity to play, and also having to go in and out with Ryan Fitzpatrick, is something else that could take a toll on a guy that's trying to find his footing and get ingrained. But I think Mayo said it perfectly. An offseason will serve Tua well. Another weapon offensively, the ability to build. Like, Miami has done some tremendous things. Defensively, we saw what they did on that side of the football. Tua will be fine. I think Tua will be fine. Mm-hmm. He's shown that he has the ability to play in this league. And the thing that I was most excited about to see, another thing Mel was talking about, is a little bit of his elusiveness came back. A little bit of, you know, Tua is not a superior athlete, but he's athletic enough to extend plays and keep drives going and scramble for a few yards and get upfield. We saw that in college as well. So I believe Miami is in good hands. They need to surround him with some talent and some weapons. I believe he'll be the guy that they need there for a long time.
All right, Jeff, Saturday, is it a clean sweep? Is Tua the quarterback in Miami going forward? No questions asked?
Absolutely. And listen, let's not mix the notion. They went to Buffalo, right? Miami to Buffalo, run into a buzzsaw, right? The hottest offense in the league. They get a 50-burger hung on them, and we're talking about their quarterback. And the other part I would say about that game is Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't there, right? So when you talk about, it's not only having him, I'm not talking about coming in the game, I'm talking about being the eyes on the sideline. How many conversations do players have when they come off the sideline and go, hey, man, how are you seeing it? Let me tell you how they're going to adjust to you. Let me tell you what Leslie Frazier wants to do on third down. That's the added benefit of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not just him coming back and having the Fitz magic moments. It's all the other things and all the other processes that help bring along a rookie quarterback who, by the way, was injured, had to come up through all these things. So there was a lot there. I think Tua has more than proved himself. He is the guy for the Dolphins. Go help him with guys, whether you surround them with weapons on the outside or offensive line protection. He is the quarterback of the future for the Miami Dolphins.
All right, let's see. We'll see what happens. It's a clean sweep. Everybody believes in him. And let's see if that receiver that Mel was talking about winds up winning the Heisman Trophy tonight. You'll find out 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. We have the 86th annual Heisman Trophy ceremony, the first ever virtual presentation. The finalists are Devontae Smith and his quarterback at Alabama, Mac Jones, and of course Clemson's Trevor Lawrence and Florida's Kyle Trask. Find out who wins it tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Coming up, he didn't mention him by name, but boy, did Joe Judge drop the hammer on Doug Peterson yesterday. Is he right? We'll answer that question next.